So through this series, The Art of Loving Well, God has called us just to develop this skill. How many of you want to become better lovers? You know, God has called us to become better lovers. Sometimes it's not easy to keep our love on in situations that we face. So this is what Paul wrote to the church of Philippi. You know, this is his desire to see people to love well, to grow in their love. You know, he was actually writing this portion of scripture from a place, quite a cool place, a relationally cool place, in prison. And he was writing this to the church of Philippi and just to remind them to keep their love on, to keep growing in this love. And so he says this. I'm going to read the Message translation. So it says here, so this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect, exemplary, a life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all. How many of you know that Jesus wants to make you attractive? That's what he wants to do. He wants to showcase you. He wants to show you off to the rest of the world and say, that is my daughter. That is my son. Look what I've put inside of them. It's something that the world needs right now. And you know, as I was sharing this series a couple of weeks, I started it and I've mentioned that there's a big problem in this world right now. You might have read a lot about global warming and in the media and people saying this is adding a lot, and whether you believe in it or not, it's not the issue. There's a far greater issue than global warming right now. It's called the global cooling problem. Because the word says, Jesus famously quoted in Matthew, and he said this, he said, the love of many have grown cold. There's a problem in this world. There's a lot of relational issue, and the relational climate is at the ultimate low right now. But guess what? Jesus, the lover of our soul, wants to change the relational climate in this world. And friends, how is he going to do it? He's going to do it through us, the church. He's called us to play our part. And I've always said that we can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. Thermostat, it changes the climate, but a thermometer, just say the temperature. And you can choose what you want to be in this world. Do you want to be a thermostat that changes the relational climate, that reflects the beauty and the splendor of Jesus? Wherever you go, Jesus goes with you and it brings change. How many of you know that love is a powerful force? It's not just a feeling. And that's what God wants us to be. That's who he wants us to represent. And so this is why Paul is so clear here. He said, live a lover's life. Now friend, we can either be a lover or a luster. He said, do not be a luster, be a lover. Let Jesus be the lover of your soul. And then he goes on that his prayer is that our love will flourish and that we will love well. And I really pray, friends, I don't know what in relational climate that you are in right now. Because, you know, in different environments, there's different temperatures. You know, we've got different relational climates. You know, when we even go to our workplace at the hospital or the school, there's a relational climate. Now, it might be cool, not meaning it in a good way, okay? Cool and hostile. And so, and this is what God wants to change. And you know, the great thing is that this is what he uses. You know, love is the ideal climate which relationships can flourish in. Did you know that? Because I believe where there's love, things will grow. That you will flourish. And so this series is really helping you to discover God's blueprint. What is the Father's heart for you? What does he want you? How does he want you to live your life? It's not an ordinary life that he's called us to. But it's something that he wants us to live every day. So this is Jesus. Jesus came, friends. How many of you are thankful for Jesus? You know, Jesus came and changed this relational climate in this world. When the Father looked at this world, He looked and He saw the brokenness and He saw that there's a global cooling problem. And then He said, I'm going to send my best. I'm going to send somebody that's going to change the atmosphere. Somebody that's going to bring a shift and a change in the relational climate on the earth. And friends, Jesus was the ultimate relational thermostat that came to this earth. Wherever He went, people were drawn to Him. Crowds follow Him. All around the Sea of Galilee, as His ministry went about reaching people. People were just so in love with this Jesus. It just didn't take them long because there was something on Him and in Him that was so attractive that they were drawn to. And I believe that the same Jesus is available to us. So, and you know, as I was just praying for about this morning, you know, there's a couple of things God has, you know, put on my heart to share. And I really want to get to the foundational part of love. And, you know, as He's called us to express this love, you know, some of the things needs to be in place in our lives. And how many of you know that He starts with us? You know, we can pray that prayer, Lord, change them, change them. But, you know, we need to say, Lord, change us. There's some of the things that He wants to put in place, and He wants us to really awaken our understanding of who the Father is. Because it's about the Father. It's the Father that sent Jesus to this earth. It was out of love. He was compelled. There was something that moved the heart of Jesus. And so when Jesus says, when you look at me, you see the Father. I'm here about my Father's business. I'm representing Him here. And so God took me to the scripture. I want to read from Joel. Joel 2 verse 3. If you got your Bible with me, I'm going to read from the Northern Irish version again, the NIV. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And He relents from sending calamity. Friends, I believe this is a call that's going out right now around the world. I believe that many, many hearts are returning to the Father. I've heard so many stories. Just had a meeting earlier last week with a couple, and you know, the one guy, he just gave his life to Jesus, and his wife, you know, is just getting understanding of who Jesus is. And but there's so many people that's returning to the Father, because what is Father doing right now? He's releasing a spirit of adoption over this world, and the fathers and sons and daughters are returning to the heart of God. They're discovering them. They can see and understand of who He is. And this is what the scripture is saying here. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord, your God, for He is gracious. And so I really believe that God wants us to be established, friends, and marinated in some of these truths. You know, He wants us to get this fundamental truths about His nature and who He is. I've always said this, you know, what we know and believe of God will either determine that we run to Him or from Him. A lot of people are running from God because they don't know Him. They don't understand His heart. They think that He's a God of wrath. He's a God that's always angry. He's this angry taskmaster. He's like this angry landlord when He comes and visits your house and you're just renting, and when He comes, He's just telling you of all the things that is out of place in your house. And so I really want to just break that worldview and that understanding of who God is, because we really need to get to the basics of love and the Father heart and understand who He is in His essence. And so there's three things that I want to share with you this morning to help you to relate to God better. Because I believe that sometimes when I hear Christians speak and ministers, I'm like, it's not to judge them, but I just don't get really think they get out, they have understanding of who God the Father is. And so number one, what I want to share with you is God is Father. God is Father. This is what Bill Johnson quoted. Jesus came to a planet of orphans to reveal what he needed most, a father. Jesus came to a planet. Friends, before we knew Jesus, we were orphans. There was a separation that took place. God created us for what? For relationship. How many of you know that God is a relational God? There's always relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's just who He is. He created us that way to connect. I love how He created us. And this is who He is. And this is why He came to this planet and said, you know what? I'm not going to leave you the way you are. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to your rescue. I will not leave you in the situation that you're in, the brokenness. And this is the same. And I'm speaking as a father here this morning. You know, when I look at my children, there's something that prompts me and moves me. And whenever they're in pain or in agony and whatever time of the morning, it's difficult to sometimes keep my joy on at 3. I must admit, I'm human. I'm not Jesus. But hey, I want to learn. I want to, you know, just grow in that. But I would not leave them in that state. Whenever they're crying and they're in pain, you know, we want to pursue. And that's what God is doing. That's what the Father is doing. He's pursuing us. Whatever position you are in, whatever place you feel stuck in, He's coming to your rescue. He's coming to you. And He did it. How many of you know that more than 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to our rescue? So the Father wants to open up our understanding, our hearts and eyes, to the realization of who He is. I love this prayer in Ephesians 1:18-19. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. This is a prayer coming from a man that's longing to see. He's got a desire for people's eyes, their hearts to be opened in order that they may see and discover the hope of glory. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. That they may see the riches of His glorious inheritance. That they may see the beauty of His heart. This is Jesus in Matthew. It was interesting as He spent time, a lot of time with the disciples. He knew His time was up, but really He was on earth to come and make known, to introduce this concept and of who God, of who the Father is. Because He says, if you see Me, you see the Father. And this is why, friends, He taught them at that moment. They said, Jesus, how should we pray? He said, our Father. He started it off, our Father, not our God. You know, it was our Father is something personal about the word Father. God means Abba. Abba means Father, Daddy. And so this is how he wanted them to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth and as it is in heaven. I get to meet with quite a lot of Catholics in West Belfast on a monthly basis, and we pray this prayer. But it's got so much meaning to me now. And as we pray this prayer, my prayer is that they will really understand who Father is. And so, you know, I was just with them last week, and I was in this group, and every month I had the opportunity just to pray with this group of Catholics in West Belfast, and you know, we really just have a desire just for every tribe and every nation to come and know God personally and have a relationship with Him. And that's why Jesus came. And so as we were just spending time there, you know, I just suddenly had this urge to tell this one lady, and I said this to her, you know, I just declare it. It just came. I said, you are not an orphan. You're not an orphan. You are loved by God. And, you know, she responded and she said, and I didn't know that. She said she grew up as an orphan. Her parents abandoned her when she was young. And, you know, just, it was just, you know, where she really found it hard. Even when she prays the Lord's Prayer, she just, she understands. She gets Jesus. But this father thing is just, you know, it's very difficult for her to understand the father concept. Because she just cannot relate to her own father. You know, and there was a time that we just went into a time of prayer. And, you know, as I prayed for her, how many of you know that God speaks to us through pictures and dreams? And he just loves to communicate to us the things that's on his heart. Goodness, there's so much that he has on his heart for us. And so, as I was praying for this lady, you know, I saw a picture of this baby in this crib. Or we say a cot, and I saw this father standing over this baby crib, and he was just staring at this beautiful baby, and you know, and I looked at it, and I saw his face was just beaming of joy, you know, and I thought to myself, I get this. This is God speaking to me. And I said, look, I want to share with you this picture, this image that I saw, because I believe this is for you. I believe what God wants to communicate to you is that when you were conceived, when you were announced to this world that you were arriving, and when you arrived on that day, your heavenly Father stood over you and he was smiling. Do you know how much you loved? And, you know, and she, you know, something, as I spoke those words, friends, it really spoke into that father vacuum that she carried. And I'm going to be sharing a little bit on that. It was a father vacuum that she had. She had a deep longing to connect with her biological father and mother. She had this, you know, the rejection that she's been through. And, you know, and how many of you know that our hearts, you know, we have that vacuum that is there for a reason that only Father God can satisfy. Only God can speak into those, that area that says that you are valuable, you loved, you are wanted. You know, and that's just how God started to minister, you know. And at the end of the night, it was just like, wow. She was just amazed on how God communicated with her and to her. The fact that she realized that God is so mindful of her right now, that he would say, communicate this through somebody that she doesn't really know that well. A friend, that is what God wants to communicate to us. And if he would give you a love letter this morning and you would just read it, the things that he would say about you, the things that he'll speak into your identity, into who you are, that's who he is. He wants you to reveal to you who you are and whose you are. And I think, friends, there's so many things that prevents us from experiencing the Father's love and heart. This is something I really believe where there's just such a lie out there. The enemy will lie to you about your identity, lie to you about you abandoned, you rejected, nobody wants you, you're just nobody, you're just the orphan. And so we walk around with this orphan heart and orphan mentality of, you know what, I am just really not important. But when I saw that picture of the father looking over that child, and saying, that is my girl. That is my girl. I love her. She might not have experienced the love from her biological father. But hey, that is my child. I've brought her into this world. And there's a reason for her existence. And that's what I want to say to you this morning. You're loved by the Father. You might not have experienced that in your own family. You might have not have got that affirmation and love from your own parents, and you longed for it. You know, my children long for it every day. They're like, Daddy, look, look, look. And I'm like busy and they're just seeking my attention all the time. Look, Daddy, what I draw. I mean, Joshy, he will come to me and, you know, take my receipt from, you know, we went shopping at IKEA and I had a receipt there and he just loves dinosaurs, all right? Dinosaurs and cars. And so he's just drawing. So it's just like a scribbling. So, and he's like, hey, Daddy, look, dinosaur. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Friends, it's not, it's just, and so I'm like, man, that's an amazing dinosaur. And I know most parents, they just take this and they just stick it up in their fridge and all over the house. And but why? Because they want our affirmation. They're seeking our approval the whole time. They just need it. They want it. They feed off it. And so I'm very much aware of the stage that they're in and to be present, and just tell them who they are. I keep reminding my children who they are before I put them to bed, you know, and I could be so mad at them sometimes. And I'm like, you know, Daddy loves you, right? And, but, you know, we got to keep our love on in those situations and, you know, friends, if I would ask yourself, if I would ask you this morning, you know, to close your eyes. Maybe just everybody close their eyes. Just close your eyes. And if I would ask you this morning, you know, when I mention the word Father, what comes to mind? What feeling comes to mind? What experience, what comes to that thought life of you? Okay, you can open your eyes. Friends, I believe that the word Father in most cases will either bring a positive or a negative connotation to you or a memory. It's just something that we carry. You know, we either carry a father vacuum or we carry a father wound. You know, and so I really want to go deeper this morning because for us to really get this art of loving well thing right, we need to go to the deeper things because, friends, it's so difficult to give something that you don't have. You just really want to love and you want to just, you know, sometimes like, I love you, but it's just like, you just don't have not taken hold of it. You don't have an understanding of that. And so now we need to go to father wounds and father vacuums and really ask God to heal that wound and fill that vacuum in that space. Because, like I said, how we relate to our earthly fathers will influence the way we relate to God as a father. It's so true. You know, my dad was a wonderful man. He still is. He's an incredible, gifted, loving, caring person. But there's some wounds that I have carried. I didn't even realize that. I went to a new decision. Actually, we got new decisions starting this week and we got to pray for our friends going there. And it was such a significant moment because we had the opportunity really to deal with the past, really to deal with some of the wounds that we carried. And so I'm like, I love my daddy. And then I closed my eyes and man, this moment came to my mind and was stuck in my subconscious mind. And I had so much anger that came out in that moment that I had to deal with. So we want to relate, you know, think about my dad and it really affects, you know, the relationship because, you know, I have a perception of him. Man, I either want to run to him and hug my dad or there's something like, man, you don't deserve my love. You don't deserve this hug. So I'm keeping my distance. And so we were created with a deep desire for the love of our Heavenly Father. This is something that he's created us with. It's something that that only he can satisfy. But sadly, friends, the world and individuals are running to places trying to seek love and affection in all the wrong places. This is what's happening. Instead of running to the source, because they don't really know and they relate to God as just angry. I can't approach him with these intimate things. I'm really struggling. And I just don't feel that I can go and sit on his lap. And so there's just this deep desire. How can I connect with God? When we were young, as I said, you know, we looked for experiences of love through our relationships with our earthly fathers. And this is something we long for. And there's just this coldness and this distance. And, you know, it might be a generational thing. Maybe your parents just didn't know how to relate well. And their parents didn't know how to show their affection. You know, and so it's so important why I want to share this is that we really get a hold of the love language of heaven. How many of you know heaven's got a love language? And it's something that God wants us to take hold of and embrace and knowing how to communicate it. And it's so vital in our relationship. As I said, we cannot give what we've not received. So how do we get this this language? It's through our understanding of who God is and how he communicates to us. So friends, when love was not received, the child looks for ways in which to get this kind of love. It's something that's there. We long for that, but it just didn't happen. What do I need to do in order to get my dad to love me? And so I really feel like this morning God wants to bring healing just in areas of father wounds, things that we carry. And you know, because somehow, you know, we somehow feel like we need to perform. You know, like, hey, look at me, God. I'm doing all these things. You know, we're looking for that approval. And, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. And so that's not how what he's called us to do. You know, it's not in the doing. It's in the being. You know, he's really calling us to be sons and daughters where we can just be okay when, you know, when we do nothing. You know, not to just trying to perform and. So it's important. God's love for you is not based on what you do for him or don't do for him. And then the second one I want to get is God is love. And you say, Johan, I know that. I know that. But friends, I believe there's just a new dimension of his love that he wants to take us in. I believe it's so many different layers and, you know, you might have just tasted and, you know, that's the reason, you know, you might be here or you might be, have given your life to God, but you feel like, man, I'm just not connecting with this God. I really want to experience his love. And I believe once you receive a revelation of the Father's love and then that becomes part of your identity, you know, and I wrote this down. It says here, you will rarely apply in your life what you have not received or have a revelation of. You will rarely apply in your life what you have not received or have a revelation of. And it's so important that we get this revelation. Because once you get it, you start applying it. When you know that God is love and the main source of it, then you do not have to seek and look for love and affection in all the other places that's out there. Friends, we know the story of the prodigal son. I love this story and it really explains the heart of the father so well. The father waiting for his son to return. The son that had so much, had just blown his inheritance. It was in the pigsty. And, you know, and then there was that moment that the son came to his senses. He's like, man, I've blown it. But now I can go other places. But, you know, and so there's that moment of, you know, am I going to go to the father's house? You know, this is a spiritual orphan that have not really come to understand and realize how much he's loved. And then there was a decision. He said, he came to his senses and he said, I'm going to go. I'm going to go back to the Father's house. Friend, why did he go back to the Father's house? The reason he went back is because he saw how even the Father treated the servants in the house, was looking after them. And you know, just the love, the culture, the relational climate in that house. He was always, you know, he's just such a perfect example of who, the God, the Father. But you know, he didn't feel worthy. And even the other son that was in the house lived in the Father's house and constantly wanted the Father's approval. Well, why didn't you give this to me? And comparing himself to, you know, to his brother. And I mean, just had a lot of insecurities. But I just love how the son made that decision. You know what? I am going to go back to the Father's house. And he didn't know how the Father's going to respond. I've messed up. You know, that's the difference between religion and Christianity. You know, when you are in a mess, you've messed up. You know, you're like, no, I can't go back to the Father. But if you're in a relationship with God, it's like, you know what? I can call my daddy. I'm in a mess right now. I can call my daddy. And I love this picture of the father just running to the son. But you can just imagine he was waiting in anticipation. When is the son going to return? I long for this relationship. And so, and it's understood that in Jewish culture, a Jewish son, when he blew or he did something in this family, and, you know, the community will perform a ceremony called kazesa, meaning to cut off, and they would meet him outside the village and totally reject this son or this family member. And what they do is they'll break a large pot. They'll throw it down on the floor, in symbolically saying that this person is cut off from this community. And I love this. And this might have been the situation where the father said, you know what, I'm gonna run. And I'm going to get there before these religious Pharisees get there. Because I want to embrace my son. I don't want him to be cut off. I want to embrace him. Now friends, for me, that is really a picture of love outrunning the law. Yes. That is a picture of love outrunning the law. I love that. That the love is unconditional. It's just breaking through these religious stuff that they wanted to put constraints and break. And no. Father said, my son, even you've messed up. Even my grace is sufficient. What is grace? Grace is something that we receive. We don't deserve it, but we receive it anyway. Because why? Because we are loved. We are loved. We love because that's what the Father is to us. And then thirdly, I want to finish with this. God is prodigal. And, you know, there's really two meanings of prodigal. The other one is meaning prodigal, meaning extravagant, lavish. The lavish love of God. We sing a song, the reckless love of God. Well, it's the lavish, extravagant love of God. And I just love how the son came back expecting a slap. Maybe some of you have experienced that, right? You've blown out, you've done something in your house. And I mean, I remember this situation. My parents, I was at my naughty moments where I took this big Coke bottles when they still came, and I'm going to give me back away my age here, but it was like a Coke bottle. I put it on my dad's car because I knew he's going to chase after me because I did something that really ticked him off, really got him angry. And so anyway, I was up in this tree, you know, and my dad knew, like, man, this kid's got to come back. And usually when the street lights come on, that's when you need to go back, right? You need to return to the father's house. So I was waiting in this tree house, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is getting late. It's dark, and is he going to come for me? My dad was just waiting and waiting. And eventually I'm like, okay, I need to face the music. It's going to be painful, but I need to go back to this house, and I need to really just take responsibility. And so that's when I came back, and boy, I didn't get, my dad didn't run to me and say, my son, I love you. You know, it's okay for putting that bottle under the car and I've got a flat tire and for what you've done. And, you know, I just love you. I got a big smack, okay? That was still a good, I would say good old days. I've got to be careful what I'm saying from the frontier. But I got a good spanking there, okay? And so my dad reprimanded me and took away some of the responsibilities. But anyway, but this is a different scenario, different story. Father with a different approach. And but I just love how God expresses His lavish love. We were just at school last week. I took just Michaela to school. We were walking down there, and actually, I was picking her up from school, and I had a confession. I bought 5 sausage rolls. Okay, I've got 3 kids, so Daddy had 2 of the had Michaela's sausage roll, you know, and I kind of forgot about it, and I said, "Are you hungry?" When I picked her up, and she's like, "Yeah, Daddy, I'm hungry." I'm like, "Oh goodness, Michaela, I'm sorry, Daddy had your sausage roll." But hey, guess what? We're gonna go to the bakery, and we're gonna get you a sausage roll. And she said, "Well, Daddy, can I get a cookie too?" I'm like, "No, you can't ask for interest now." Doesn't work that way, my girl. But anyway, and so I just kept quiet. She wanted a cookie. Friend, I went to the bakery and I asked the lady. I'm like, "Hey, me again." She's like, "Surprised, why is the guy back?" I mean, anyway, well, she can see why. But so I said, "Look, can I have one more sausage roll?" I didn't get into a whole story. And she's like, "You know what, here's your sausage roll. And here, my little girl, here's a cookie for you." Isn't it amazing how the Father like supersedes my moment there and like kind of just say, "You know what? I'm going to bless my little girl. She needs interest. I will give her interest. I will give her more." You know, and so it's just beautiful where she just had this little cookie and I said, "Look, my girl, isn't God amazing?" She's like, "Yeah, Daddy." Like, you know, duh. Of course He is. You know, it was just amazing how she's just relating to her Heavenly Father, that she almost expects Him to bless her. Man, can we have faith like a child? Can we walk in that way of just, man, He's so prodigal. He's so lavish. He just wants to pour it over you. You know how much He loves us? Every day is like Christmas to Him. In a way, you know, I love it. Said this before, you know, one of my favorite moments through the year is when a Christmas morning, Dad's going to relate to it, you know, and, you know, you've wrapped up those presents and they come down their faces and it's just like, man, the joy, they giddy, you know, they laughing and they just, I can't wait. But I can just picture God just sitting there and just like, whoa, you know, it's brings such a thrill to Him, such joy to Him when they're unwrapping these presents and the joy. And that's the same with us, friends. When we start unwrapping those things and the beauty and the things that we've already received from Him and what He's done, it brings joy to the Father. It's who He is. And really my prayer is, as you can spend time with Him this week and you close your eyes and you say, "Lord," and you say, "Father, Papa, Daddy," you know, you can communicate with Him knowing that He is just so different sometimes from how the world paints Him. The world has just got such a horrible image of who He is. He's slow to anger and rich in love. Chrissy, will you come up? I'll just go into a time of ministry. Just close your eyes for a moment. Sorry. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are our Papa. You are our Daddy. Let me just sit there and just express Your love to Him. Maybe that's been difficult for you. Maybe it's really just not easy just to say, Papa, Daddy. Father, we just say we love you. We thank you for your agape love. We thank you for your unconditional love that you don't give with terms and conditions, that we don't have to love you more to or do things so that you can love us more. Lord, we realize that you have put in us a vacuum, and that vacuum, that part of our heart, can only be filled by your love. Nothing else can satisfy. Father, we realize that you are the lover of our soul. And Father, I pray right now over this place that your agape love, Lord, that your unconditional love be poured out over each and every one here in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are not orphans, that we are not, Father, abandoned, that you love us, that we are wanted, that we are needed. And I thank you for that love that you give so freely, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that your word says that so God loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Because you love, because you love, because you love. You are love, Father. And Lord, we realize that love is not just a feeling, it's a powerful force. It has the ability to change and transform hearts. It's got the ability to change nations, to change campuses, to change the atmosphere, the relational atmosphere, the racial atmosphere. And Father, we want to embrace this love, Father. So this morning, Lord Jesus, we ask that you will bring healing to wounded hearts here in Jesus' name. And if you want to, if you're just saying, Johan, I've got some wounded hearts. I've got a wounded heart. My heart has been wounded by my own father. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or anything. I just want you to put your hand on your heart right now. And I want you just to pray with me. And we just pray right now that Father, Abba will, Daddy, this heavenly, loving, caring Father will come and touch your heart. Father, we thank you for these hearts to be healed in the name of Jesus. We just pray, Father, that you will come and bring healing. Help us to forgive. Help us to, Father, release our own fathers, our biological fathers, but not just our fathers. It's our mothers too that have inflicted pain. Our mothers that have manipulated, dominated, controlled, and said harsh words and painful things. And Father, it has caused us to question ourselves and feel so vulnerable and insecure and hurt. And it's been so difficult because of that to relate to others and to relate to you. But Lord, I pray that you'll come and bring change. Come and change my heart. Start in the inside out, God. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your perfect love that cast out fear. Lord, even fear of rejection, fear of pain, and fear of being abandoned. Lord, I just pray that you'll come this morning. Holy Spirit, just fill hearts. In Jesus' name, I thank you that love displaces fear in Jesus' name. This love displaces rejection in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you will restore. I really, really pray that this will be a year of reconciliation in families. Reconciliation, Lord, not just in our relationship with you, but with others, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'll show us how to respond, Father. How you want us to respond and really just build this relationship that we have, Lord. We want to ask you to change this relational climate, Lord. This global cooling problem, this problem we have, see, in our families and our marriages, Lord Jesus. Help us to keep our love on in Jesus' name.